In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, to listen to you, and we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. As we pray today with Pope Francis in his homily, in that extraordinary hour or moment of prayer, as it is called, in St. Peter's Square on Friday, the 27th of March, 2020, in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic that is so disturbing the world. A beautiful homily, and it gives us much food for thought and the topic for our prayer today. And we can begin by reading the words of the gospel that was sung at the beginning of that ceremony. It's in the fourth chapter of St. Mark's gospel. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them, just as he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" A beautiful gospel in these troubled times. We too are on the boat of life, and often there is calm, and at other times in various ways affecting individuals, families, their country, and in this case the world, there are storms. There is a wind, and it is getting to be evening. It is dark, and people wonder, what is happening? Where is God in all of this? What is the future? Is there any solution? Doesn't God care? And in this, Jesus is there with them, but he is asleep. And then they wake him and say, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" The waves were coming over the gunwales of the boat, perhaps filling the boat with water. They could see themselves sinking. And now they wake him. "Do you not care if we perish?" And then, as always, Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And always, after the storms, there comes the calm. Perhaps the storm can be long or shorter, but the calm eventually comes. And then, Lord, you say to the apostles, and you say to us, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And Lord, we need to hear those words, to listen to that question. Have you no faith? Don't you realize that I am with you always, that I can work miracles, that I can bring an end to this storm as I have brought an end to all the other storms in your life? And afterwards, when the storm ends and the calm returns, you can rebuke us with those words that you said to St. Peter when he was sinking, when he tried to walk on the water. Why did you doubt, you of little faith? And Lord, that you not have to say that to us, because we do believe that you are with us and we do trust in you. Pope Francis, commenting on this passage, says, "When evening had come, the gospel passage we have just heard begins like this. For weeks now, it has been evening. Thick darkness has gathered over our squares, our streets, and our cities. It has taken over our lives, filling everything with a deafening silence and a distressing void that stops everything as it passes by. We feel it in the air. We notice in people's gestures. Their glances give them away. We find ourselves afraid and lost. Like the disciples in the gospel, we were caught off guard by an unexpected, turbulent storm. We have realized that we are on the same boat, all of us fragile and disoriented, but at the same time important and needed. All of us called to row together, each of us in need of comforting the other. On this boat are all of us, just like those disciples who spoke anxiously with one voice, saying, 'We are perishing.' So we too have realized that we cannot go on thinking of ourselves, but only together can we do this." The Pope comments a number of things. For weeks now, it has been evening, and we see the effects in people's lives, the silence, the worried looks. And that can affect us too. And this storm came on quite suddenly. It has been with the world only for a few months, but already wreaking havoc in so many countries, so many cases of the disease, so many deaths, and the numbers are increasing. It is by far the biggest worldwide health crisis in everyone's lifetime. One would have to go back to 1918, 1919, to the so-called Spanish flu, which we must say was much worse than what we are experiencing today. That flu killed between 20 and 50 million people, more than the First World War, which was just ending at that time. And this pandemic is causing a great upheaval in our lives, as we are restricted in our movements, as so many workplaces are closed, and places of entertainment, so many aspects of our life that we took for granted, that we used regularly, that we can no longer use. But as the Pope says, we are all in this together. We are all in the boat, and we can't just think of ourselves. He says, "We have realized that we cannot go on thinking of ourselves, but only together can we do this." To think of comforting the other, as the Pope says, and Lord, help us to do that, to forget ourselves and our worries, and to think of the others, and to give them comfort, support, and help. The Pope goes on, "It is easy to recognize ourselves in this story. What is harder to understand is Jesus' attitude. While his disciples are quite naturally alarmed and desperate, he is in the stern, in the part of the boat that sinks first. And what does he do? In spite of the tempest, he sleeps on soundly, trusting in the Father. This is the only time in the Gospels we see Jesus sleeping. When he wakes up, after calming the wind and the waters, he turns to the disciples in a reproaching voice, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And Lord, you are always with us, and at times it can seem that you too are asleep. Where is God? People are saying, this is going on, it is getting worse. Doesn't God care? Where is he? But you are with the apostles, and you are sleeping perhaps intentionally to show them that you are with them. And then when they wake you, you calm the storm. And you ask them, as you ask us, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? And Lord, we can be afraid. We can be worried. But increase our faith to trust in you. You will calm this storm, this pandemic, as you have calmed all the other storms in history. Increase my faith. The Pope continues, let us try to understand. In what does the lack of the disciples' faith consist, as contrasted with Jesus' trust? They had not stopped believing in him. In fact, they called on him. But we see how they call on him. Teacher, do you not care if we perish? Do you not care? They think that Jesus is not interested in them, does not care about them. One of the things that hurts us and our families most when we hear it said is, do you not care about me? It is a phrase that wounds and unleashes storms in our hearts. It would have shaken Jesus too, because he, more than anyone, cares about us. Indeed, once they have called on him, he saves his disciples from their discouragement. And Lord, we have to look into ourselves too and ask, have we been looking to God and asking, don't you care? Why don't you act? Why does this continue, this health crisis? And of course he cares. As the Pope says, he more than anyone cares about us. He is our God. He is our brother who shared our human nature, who knows human suffering, who entered into the world of suffering, as Pope John Paul II wrote. Of course he cares. He loved us so much that he became man for us and suffered and died on the cross for us. That's how much he cares. But we lose sight of that, and we think that he is distant, and he is always with us. But that question that the Pope raises, do you not care, which he says wounds anyone who hears it. If someone, for example, says to any one of us, don't you care about me? That hurts us, because we thought we were caring, but that other person didn't perceive it as much as we thought they would. And Lord, help us to care truly about others, and not only to care inwardly, but to show them by our deeds that we are there for them, as you are here for us. To comfort them, spend time with them, talking with them, reassuring them. They have someone that does care, and that person is ourselves. We continue with Pope Francis. The storm exposes our vulnerability and uncovers those false and superfluous certainties around which we have constructed our daily schedules, our projects, our habits, and priorities. It shows us how we have allowed to become dull and feeble the very things that nourish, sustain, and strengthen our lives and our communities. The Tempest lays bare all our prepackaged ideas and forgetfulness of what nourishes our people's souls. All those attempts that anesthetize us with ways of thinking and acting that supposedly save us, but instead prove incapable of putting us in touch with our roots and keeping alive the memory of those who have gone before us. We deprive ourselves of the antibodies we need to confront adversity. And Lord, this has helped all of us to realize what really matters. We have had to go without many forms of enjoyment, many activities that we took for granted, even shopping for what we didn't really need, but we thought we would like. And now we can't have those. And we come back to what truly does nourish our souls, and that is you, a closer relationship with you. And many are experiencing that at the present time. They are perhaps enclosed in their house, in their flat, just with their own family, or even alone. And they come back to God, who is always with us. They savor those personal relationships with their family. What really matters? What really nourishes us? We have to go without those other things that weren't essential, even though we considered them to be such. Help us to come back to you, to come back to family relationships, and to hang on to you and to them. And this not only until this crisis ends, but always, that this be a turning point in our lives when we come closer to you, or we come back to you and closer to our family in all of those important relationships. The Pope says, in this storm, the facade of those stereotypes with which we camouflaged our egos, always worrying about our image, has fallen away, uncovering once more that blessed common belonging of which we cannot be deprived, our belonging as brothers and sisters. And how true that is, worrying about our image, what people think of us, and we have to forget ourselves now and think of those around us, our belonging as brothers and sisters in our families and in this family of mankind. The Pope goes on, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Lord, your word this evening strikes us and regards us, all of us, in this world that you love more than we do. We have gone ahead at breakneck speed, feeling powerful and able to do anything. Greedy for profit, we let ourselves get caught up in things and lured away by haste. We did not stop at your reproach to us. We were not shaken awake by wars or injustice across the world, nor did we listen to the cry of the poor or of our ailing planet. We carried on regardless, thinking we would stay healthy in a world that was sick. Now that we are in a stormy sea, we implore you, wake up, Lord. And we can say, wake us up, Lord, to realize that we have an ailing planet, that there is war, there is injustice, there is the cry of the poor, there are all those ailments in society around the world, but we were oblivious to them as we got caught up in buying more and more things in our hurrying along at breakneck speed, greedy for profit, and thinking that we could stay healthy. When now we discover we can't stay healthy when a virus comes. But as the Pope puts it, stay healthy in a world that was sick. And we were oblivious to the sickness of the world. And we say, Lord, wake me up. Help me now to be more aware of the sickness, of the suffering of those around me. And sometimes that suffering is in our own families, in our own communities. The Pope continues, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Lord, you are calling to us, calling us to faith, which is not so much believing that you exist, but coming to you and trusting in you. This Lent, your call reverberates urgently. Be converted. Return to me with all your heart." A quote from the prophet Joel. You are calling on us to seize this time of trial as a time of choosing. It is not the time of your judgment, but of our judgment. A time to choose what matters and what passes away. A time to separate what is necessary from what is not. It is a time to get our lives back on track with regard to you, Lord, and to others. We can look to so many exemplary companions for the journey, who, even though fearful, have reacted by giving their lives. This is the force of the Spirit poured out and fashioned in courageous and generous self-denial. It is the life in the Spirit that can redeem, value, and demonstrate how our lives are woven together and sustained by ordinary people, often forgotten people, who do not appear in newspaper and magazine headlines, nor on the grand catwalks of the latest show, but who without any doubt are in these very days writing the decisive events of our time. Doctors, nurses, supermarket employees, cleaners, caregivers, providers of transport, law and order forces, volunteers, priests, religious men and women, and so very many others who have understood that no one reaches salvation by themselves. In the face of so much suffering, where the authentic development of our peoples is assessed, we experience the priestly prayer of Jesus, that they may all be one. How many people every day are exercising patience and offering hope, taking care to sow not panic, but a shared responsibility? How many fathers, mothers, grandparents, and teachers are showing our children in small, everyday gestures how to face up to and navigate a crisis by adjusting their routines, lifting their gaze, and fostering prayer? How many are praying, offering, and interceding for the good of all? Prayer and quiet service. These are our victorious weapons. And as the Pope says in the beginning of that longer passage that we just read, it is a time for our own judgment, for our own choosing, to forget what doesn't matter and choose what does, to choose what remains, not what passes away, to get our lives back on track. And Lord, help us to do that, to look at our lives, at our priorities, how we are spending our time now, and detaching ourselves from so many things and activities that in the end are of no lasting value, and give ourselves more to what really matters. And then, as the Pope concludes that longer passage, prayer and quiet service. These are our victorious weapons, weapons to overcome this crisis, to be closer to God through it. And the Pope continues, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" Faith begins when we realize we are in need of salvation. We are not self-sufficient. By ourselves, we founder. We need the Lord, like ancient navigators needed the stars. Let us invite Jesus into the boats of our lives. Let us hand over our fears to him, so that he can conquer them. Like the disciples, we will experience that with him on board, there will be no shipwreck, because this is God's strength, turning to the good everything that happens to us, even the bad things. He brings serenity into our storms, because with God, life never dies. And Lord, help us to invite you into our boat, into our life in a bigger way. More prayer, more closeness to you, more reading of the scriptures. And when we cannot attend Mass, to read perhaps the texts of that particular Mass, and especially the readings. They have so much to tell us. They bring you more into our life, and you turn everything into good, as St. Paul writes to the Romans. We are seeing that happening now. But people are becoming more detached from what is accidental and passing. We are more attached to you. There is more prayer, and we get closer to the others in our family and immediate surroundings. And help us to do that, to get our life back on track, to invite you more into our boat. And Pope Francis continues, the Lord asks us, and in the midst of our tempest, invites us to reawaken and put into practice that solidarity and hope capable of giving strength, support, and meaning to these hours when everything seems to be floundering. The Lord awakens so as to reawaken and revive our Easter faith. We have an anchor. By his cross, we have been saved. We have a rudder. By his cross, we have been redeemed. We have a hope. By his cross, we have been healed and embraced so that nothing and no one can separate us from his redeeming love. In the midst of isolation, when we are suffering from a lack of tenderness and chances to meet up, and we experience the loss of so many things, let us once again listen to the proclamation that saves us. He is risen and is living by our side. The Lord asks us from his cross to rediscover the life that awaits us, to look towards those who look to us, to strengthen, recognize, and foster the grace that lives within us. Let us not quench the wavering flame that never falters, and let us allow hope to be rekindled. And Lord, to come back to you again more at this time, to reawaken our Easter faith. Christ is risen. You are with us. In those beautiful words of the Pope, we have an anchor. By his cross, we have been saved. And in this storm, you are the anchor, your cross which saves us. We have a rudder. By his cross, we have been redeemed. We have a hope. By his cross, we have been healed and embraced so that nothing and no one can separate us from his redeeming love. By your cross, you redeemed us. You reunited us with the Father. Heaven is opened. At the end of our life, we can go to that room in the Father's house that you have gone ahead to prepare for us. Fill us with hope. And to see this hope precisely in your cross and in that cross that you have shared with us in this pandemic, in all of these limitations on our freedom of movement. All is for the good. Continuing, embracing his cross means finding the courage to embrace all the hardships of the present time, abandoning for a moment our eagerness for power and possessions in order to make room for the creativity that only the Spirit is capable of inspiring. It means finding the courage to create spaces where everyone can recognize that they are called and to allow new forms of hospitality, fraternity, and solidarity. By his cross, we have been saved in order to embrace hope and let it strengthen and sustain all measures and all possible avenues for helping us protect ourselves and others. Embracing the Lord in order to embrace hope. That is the strength of faith, which frees us from fear and gives us hope. And Lord, help us to do that, to embrace this cross that you share with us, to abandon, at least for this moment, our eagerness for power and possessions, and to think of others and serve them, to find those new forms of hospitality, fraternity, and solidarity. Praying for the whole world, praying for those perhaps in other countries who are suffering more than we are, in other families, to think of others, to contact those who are alone, to show them that they are not alone. And we finish with this final prayer of Pope Francis. Dear brothers and sisters, from this place that tells of Peter's rock-solid faith, I would like this evening to entrust all of you to the Lord, through the intercession of Mary, health of the people, and star of the stormy sea. From this colonnade that embraces Rome and the whole world, may God's blessing come down upon you as a consoling embrace. Lord, may you bless the world, give health to our bodies, and comfort our hearts. You ask us not to be afraid, yet our faith is weak and we are fearful. But you, Lord, will not leave us at the mercy of the storm. Tell us again, do not be afraid. And we, together with Peter, cast all our anxieties onto you, for you care about us. And Lord, help us to go with trust to you, to Our Lady, help of Christians, comforter of the afflicted, health of the sick, look after us, keep us full of faith and hope and love. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.